Never mind, I do, yeah.
So in Lidl, next to where the normal fruit juice is, you get a big jug that's like the same as a 2 liter jug of milk. But it's got this summer fruits juice in it, and it's the most delicious juice. It's cheap as fuck. And it is, oh, yum, yum, yum. Get yourself to Lidl and get yourself a big jug of summer fruits juice.
Do I bought myself a can of American cream soda recently.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
The Bars one, or like another.
It was an off-brand. I say an off. Bars is the off-brand version, but there was another off-brand version of this. And it's just because I see American cream soda. That's a bit of me.
I mean, if you want to not bother going down to the shop for some juices, you can get your special delivery from Beer 52 for some delicious cans of beer, which is obviously much better than a wee can of cream soda. So yeah, get yourself online to beer52.com/morons for your free can of fucking beer that costs you fuck all! Fuck all!
Sorry I don't speak moron as well as you, but let me try.
What the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
It's a moron, that's not against the law.
Gun!
You fucking moron!
Dressed up like Batman.
Because he is Batman, you moron.
What are you, a fucking moron?
You moron! Drop dead. Ooh. Moron.
Whoa!
Up here, you morons!
Stepping morons like yourself.
Me down, you moron! Hey, moron!
I'm going to plug in there straight away. Well, speaking of what random drinks, Daniel, I wanted to discuss one of the most important things of our trip to the cinema was your drink of choice for going to view the movie that we're going to talk about today.
Well, annoyingly, I asked the guy for a milkshake, and listen to whether you believe this or not as an excuse. They were waiting for the milk to pasteurise. That was what the guy fucking said to me. Waiting for the milk to pasteurise, lying bastard.
There's a cow outside, the cow at the back just waiting to get milked.
So he obviously couldn't be arsed making me a milkshake, so I got an ice blast. What's up with that?
I've just never seen an adult order an ice blast.
What?
You're ice blast. Half ice blast.
I went all blue.
I like to mix it up, putting a wee half and half, like half and half ice blast and a salt and sweet popcorn. That's the combo of choice.
And I paid £165 for a pick and mix.
I fucking dropped mine on the floor as well halfway through the film. Most of it knocked all over the floor. An absolute waste.
The guy sitting next to me in the cinema was on his own, and I think he'd wandered in there thinking it was a pub because he was stinking of booze. Just sitting there on his own with his jacket on. He's just saying, I'm going to just keep casual here, pretend this is where I meant to be.
Was it the juice club? Was it the McGobert and Stalin? You used to went to watch it.
The View.
Oh, The View. I thought if it was maybe the McGobert, maybe some students just came crawling out of the union.
I went to see a stage show of Dracula at the McGobert in Stirling. Amateur production. Fuck me, it was bad. Sitting there for 2 hours watching these folk fucking, it's so cringy being so shit at it. Because I love going to stuff like that if people are amazing. But, oh God, watching somebody be bad at it.
This is why we should do it ourselves and have the morons live.
We should. I've said that we should do Edinburgh Festival every year. Every year,
two or three people to come and sit and watch us.
I think we could actually be going and like live recording or reviewing something that's happening on stage there and then.
Yeah, we'll do a live review or something or whatever. We'll figure it out.
But it should be one of those ones where we take like everybody's favourite film and just slaughter it in the front of everybody.
We'll call the show "Why Your Favourite Film's Shit" or something like that.
Have Sean on talking about The Godfather.
Sean can talk about The Godfather. You can talk about Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I'll talk about Star Wars, all these films that people love that are actually shite.
And then we can talk about Hunter's normal choices for movies.
Yes, exactly. I can be the thing. I can just sort of seat myself while you all berate my choices.
Big list of all the films chosen by Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. This is why we shouldn't choose movies. Here's a following list. Well, this movie for this week was actually chosen for us. We were invited to participate in watching the new movie called American Fiction. American Fiction is a novelist who's fed up with the establishment profiting from black entertainment, uses a pen name to write a book that propels him into the heart of hypocrisy and the madness that he claims to disdain. It's actually originally a book. We'll try to book how to pronounce the name of this earlier, but Erasure is a book that was written by Percival Everett.
Percival,
sorry. I can't read, never mind speak today. It's been an absolute nightmare. It's been a long, long day. But me and Daniel took a trip to the cinema to see this together. Nice little date night. And Hunter managed to catch up on it after the fact as he was globetrotting, as he usually does. Yes.
Where are you now? Are you in Scotland?
I'm in my own house on my own casting couch, so it's all good here.
Oh, the casting couch.
The missus is out then, I take it?
No, she's not.
She must be in the area. You can't see nothing.
That look off camera was like someone who's in a hostage video looking over to make sure.
So we could really throw him under the bus here, Daniel. What will we start talking about?
Definitely not Instagram.
No, absolutely not. We've not been that active in it ourselves, so we'll not talk about activity on Instagram.
Nah.
But let's get talking about the movie. Hunter, I want to come to you first, because obviously me and Daniel watched it together, had a slight discussion in the car on the way back.
Yes.
You've obviously watched this more recently than us, but take it away with your take on American Fiction.
So it was kind of one of those, because there wasn't much, it's not been sort of overly hyped or like sort of bigged up or advertised, obviously, because it's been a small sort of limited release. Yeah, you are going into this very much with your eyes wide open, kind of not knowing exactly fully what to expect. And kind of going in, you're just sort of taking everything as face value. But I did enjoy this film. I thought sometimes when you see like a dark comedy in the description, sometimes it never lands. But I thought the jokes in this were quite clever. There was definitely a few laugh out loud moments. So you need to remember who was the actor that was in the lead role.
Jeffrey Wright.
I thought he was very good throughout this. I thought obviously you've got the emotions, everything that he's got, not only with his writing to begin with, but then also what's going on in his home life as well. I mean, obviously everything is just where he is. It's just a complete sort of, can't imagine really what he's having to deal with and all that. And then having to obviously then create this alias, this sort of other identity. Maybe it was a good form of escapism for what he was dealing with at home at the time. And then obviously you sort of see sort of these sort kind of and going in between the two different characters, there was definitely some laugh at loud moments when he's sort of doing the whole sort of what would you call it, like protected victim or something, and and there's a sort of darkened screen and it's just
found this movie to be surprisingly funny. Like me and Daniel were at some points in the summer absolutely pissing ourselves. But what I thought was super interesting about it is watching the other people around us hesitating before they laughed at jokes, because obviously the jokes were designed to be laughing at how white people are perceiving that black audience. So when the jokes were getting made, you could see the awkwardness on the screen, but then there was also awkwardness in the people around us not knowing if they were allowed to laugh or they should laugh. But it was funny. So, just let you naturally laugh.
It is interesting that we watched it in a room full of white people. I wonder how different an experience it would be if you were the only white person in the room. You just, all eyes turning towards you every time the fucking punchline lands. But yeah, no, you're spot on that I found it. The laughs came as a surprise at the whenever they came, because it almost feels like quite a serious film at times, and then you're not really thinking about how absurd it is, because it's played very, very, it's played pretty seriously, it's played like to the line.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, it's dramatic despite it being a comedy. It's played very seriously, which it lends to the bit where they delve you maybe go off the rails a wee bit, and it gets a bit slapstick and gets a bit silly, like towards the end where mm-hmm. he's come up with the different endings. That made that now stand out and make it more memorable. Whereas if it's happening all the time in the film, then you just it just becomes another comedy, another shitty comedy. Mm-hmm. But no, I thought it was really good. Like it was lots of clever jokes. Like my favourite part in it that's coming to mind is when there were the five judges and then the two black authors were saying that they hated that book and that it shouldn't win. And then the other three white authors were like, no, we're voting for it, so tough shit. Mm-hmm. And then one of the women says, is there a reason? It's like, we need to be listening to black voices. The only two black people in the room are disagreeing with you and you just fucking ignore them. Like, yeah. little things like that are fucking brilliant, yeah. I think. And I think a lot of it's to do with, you see, for me, a lot of, and it's hard, obviously, as a white man in my 30s, do you mean, to be having any sort of opinion on it whatsoever. But you do see a lot of younger generation of white people doing a lot of projecting of they're the ones that are trying to fight the fight, but really it's all just it's none of it really matters. It's all just hollow, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it comes across really well that it obviously it gets seen through. I mean, everyone can see through it if you're one of those people.
And there's a part also in it where he's making a joke about the book and how it'll be read by white women on the beaches in the Hamptons. And the woman replies with, yes, we will. And then she instantly corrects herself as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a problem that it should be a white woman in the Hamptons reading it. But I was trying to make him feel that she wasn't a part of that. And even though, but when they go from changing the name of the book, which that whole scene with the two white people listening away on the phone, as Jeffrey Wright's characters articulated on why he wants to change the book's name, and he just makes it up on the spot. Yeah. He's like, what? We're going to call it Fuck.
Mm-hmm. It was good, though. I mean, it shows you, though, it's like that level of comfort, I think, for the general white masses, that it's okay to love a book by a black author as long as you can sort of look down on it a little bit. I mean, it's got that dirty street crime feel to it. Oh, mm-hmm. they're criminals, and that's why it's so great. If it's just a good book on a normal level, that's where there's no... That's exactly what he was writing before. That's what his character was doing. He was writing really great mm-hmm. novels, but no one cared about it. Where he wrote a shit novel so that the audience could look down upon it. It's like going to the zoo and putting pity on an animal, if you mean. It's having that sort of pity as to what the person's going through. It's much easier to laud it for that side. Oh, you all right there, Kyle?
Sorry. We cough off camera there. I even put the mute on as well, so nobody would clock that, Daniel. So thanks for throwing it into me. But I came out and we've talked a few times about when we've been reviewing movies, and we've always been guilty of boosting a movie up when you've had the cinema experience. Say, Spider-Man coming to... Spider-Man and the Joker being the two movies that I suppose coming out of the cinema for them, you're totally buzzing about how good these are. But even after the fact, still having a few days later thinking about this and rethinking about the scenes and that in it, I just think it's a really clever movie, and I really enjoyed it. There's not much to not like. I could see why people could watch this and think that the ending was a bit all over the place for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's all about the storytelling for him. Mm-hmm. The different ending parts of it, obviously you don't know, which is quite clever. I also thought it was quite clever, though, obviously. It's directed by a gentleman called Cord Jefferson, which is his directorial debut for movies. So it's actually quite a well-done movie for somebody who's on the first one. Like, you wouldn't associate that with a first-time director.
No, definitely not. It felt very, very accomplished, I thought. It didn't come across that way in the slightest. It was... Like, it did well at highlighting different characters. Like, his brother, I thought, was tremendous all the way through.
He was, yeah.
And, again, although he's doing quite outrageous stuff, he plays it so fucking straight into the bone that it just makes it land that much better. But, like when he's got the two boys in the house, and his fucking senile Alzheimer's riddled ma turns up. Is it somebody's birthday or something like that that they're turning up for?
Funeral.
No, the wedding. Yeah. The guy's wedding. And he's got all the fucking cocoa on the table and all that pish. Like, he's just fucking having to tidy it up and he just gets on with it. He's class. Like, the brother was brilliant.
He was probably my favourite character in it. As much as, absolutely love Jeffrey Wright, mm-hmm. and Jeffrey Wright's got the best beard in Hollywood. That is a proper good beard.
Mm-hmm. I think yours is better.
Oh, I'll take it. I've got the grey coming through as well.
At the moment, you look a bit like, what was that guy in The Simpsons where they go to LA? Is it Hank Scorpio? The guy that's what you look like then.
Yeah.
No idea who that is.
I'll send you it in the group chat and you can, I'll confirm it.
Hank Scorpio. No, but the brother was the best character out for me. He just, obviously, part of his twist is that he comes out as gay, mm-hmm. and that his father never got to know that, but they always kind of obviously knew that that's the way that he was going. But he was just, he was like a really tough guy, but a really camp guy at the same time, and he could jump between the two quite easily.
Yeah, you can be mm-hmm. camp and you can like Bobby and still be a hard man. So you can still be good at fighting and like dicks. You just like sucking dicks. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's it. You've got that anomaly. Most of, like, half the population likes getting their dick sucked. Half the population likes sucking dicks. He loves both. He gets especially both. But he can still knock fuck at you if you give him any grief, man. He's still a big solid bastard. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, see when he came back and he was in the swimming pool just swimming about and that. Just, but he was he did the one thing I would say is he wasn't believable as a surgeon.
Aye, that just mm-hmm. because you didn't see him in any professional setting, and they obviously portrayed the fact that he didn't have any money and he'd lost on the divorce and he was living this lavish lifestyle. So you could kind of be forgiven if you thought of him as being like the loser out of the siblings.
Mm.
You've got the sister who was a doctor. And you've got him, who's a plastic surgeon, and then you've got the outlier, which is, how do you say his name? Thelonious?
Mm-hmm.
Thelonious, Monk.
Yeah.
Monk then being a writer as well, so he was obviously felt like he was separated from the family for a lot of his life, because he wasn't following the footsteps of his dad, yeah. although they're saying that he was dad's favourite. He was away on the other side. But it was interesting seeing how dysfunctional all his family was as well.
Yeah, it makes you think that, I think, it doesn't matter how well off you are and how privileged you are, everyone's families are fucked. Do you mean? Well, all our families are fucked. And going home, there's always, like, the brother that's there to fuck things up, or the sister was the one that was looking after everything, and the dad was a cheater, and knew the mom's got Alzheimer's, there's just fucking chaos going on all the time. And I think that it doesn't matter how well you do, everyone's family's fucking mentally. Like, I know mine is anyway.
I think that's we'll save that for a different podcast if we pull in the string that is crazy families.
Well, one guy that came up that's been mentioned on the podcast was Adrian Brody, the star of the OC. No, Adrian yes. Brody, Adam Brody.
Yeah.
Star of the OC from Sean's basketball career and sexual assault allegations at St Mungo's.
Where are we going with this?
The guy for the OC.
Oh, you mentioned that to me. I still can't. I'd never seen the OC, so I didn't really know who he was.
Well, I thought Adam Brody was really good in this film. Like, he was just so different from everyone else in the film. Uh-huh. Everyone else just played their part very, very sort of zy and to the bone. And then his character was fucking slapstick and like a bit all over the place and seemed a bit unrealistic. And it was quite cool by the end that seeing him go back to revisit it and Adam Brody talking him through his endings to try to get the right ending for his film.
I suppose we better explain a little bit about what the characters are doing, because Adam Brody's character is a film director. So they bought the rights of the book. So this satire book that Jeffrey Wright's characters wrote as a bit of a fuck you to the rest of the community then does really well and gets picked up to be in a movie, and then that comes in the OC boy, who's just an over the top rich guy who feels like he's a bit edgy, and that Monk's character is pretending that he's been in jail, so mm-hmm. they're like bending over backwards to get this convict in to write their movie. But he's funny because it looks like he should be in like the Wolf of Wall Street alongside Matthew McConaughey and stuff. Like, he's been taking drugs all day and that's him just getting on with his day.
Ah, he's got that sort of vibe about him. Like, yeah. you can imagine Jesse Eisenberg playing the part, like being on or somebody like that.
And being in American Psycho.
So he does look a bit like the guy from, what's that, is it You, the name of that show on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same guy?
No. So that guy, is it Penn Teller?
Penn Teller?
Penn Teller, they're the fucking magician.
That's a magician.
Penn Badgley. See how in Hollywood you sort of pick your own name, essentially. You kind of have two folk with the same name.
Yeah.
He's no chosen Penn Badgley.
No.
So if you've got the capability, change it away for Penn fucking Badgley.
I know, so I don't get this confusion with other Hollywood magicians. So.
But Adam Brody's got one of those same faces that he just looks like one of those guys, and there's quite a lot of them, Penn Badgley being another one, that they could easily play a romantic comedy part, but then if they also played a serial killer, you'd be like, ah, that makes sense.
Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl.
Yes, he's also in that. Oh, yeah.
Is that like the similar? Is that the same thing as the OC?
No. The OC was about a high school basketball team, and there was lots of abuse on set in real life.
No, that was One Tree Hill. The OC was about the OC was like, say, imagine like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but with white kids, where that was like the from the wrong side of the tracks was having to go stay with a rich family, and all the that was like they were all basically sleeping with each other's girlfriends and stuff like that, and there was a bit of drama. And there was,
to be fair, Hunter, you would be the one that I would expect to know all this from these types of shows.
That was quite detailed, isn't it? Was the wrong side of the tracks for the white kids? Was that like a trailer park or something?
Imagine like where Eminem grew up.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, it sounds awful. Speaking of TV shows, just to go off on a tangent here, we've been talking a lot in our one of many group chats that we have with the same cruxy people. I think between the three of us, we're maybe in about eight of the same group chats with different subject headings.
This is a core three. The three of us are quite core for a lot of these chats.
But one we've been talking about a lot is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, he's back in the news.
So he's been a hot topic for us. So I put on Ballers last night. I've watched a couple episodes of it before, but I must have watched about six or seven episodes of Ballers last night. It was really good.
I enjoyed Ballers. I've watched it all.
Oh.
It was the first time when I watched it. I was like having to do the whole waiting a year between series and stuff like that.
Well, I've not. Ella's been so heavily pregnant, I'm just letting her have full control on the television. So,
That's nice, I know.
So what I've been watching is like little bits here and there of crime documentaries, and one's Gypsy Rose or Blanche.
Oh, that's like the recommended thing to watch on Sky at the moment. Right. Sarah knows all about this, but I didn't really know it.
Oh, fuck me, that's fucking mental. Like,
tell us about it. Yeah.
So this woman, this mother, basically had Munchausen's by proxy, so she made her daughter feel like she was ill, pretended she had cancer, like gave her all this stuff, made her think she couldn't walk, like made her teeth fall out, got her saliva glands removed, all this mental shit, and then made the lassie think she was younger than she was, so like faked her birthday every year. So I think by then she was actually like 19, 20, and she thought she was 14 or 15. Long story short, she goes online in a chat room, finds a guy who comes over and murders the mother. At her request. And then now, so now the documentary is 10 years later and she's getting out. So the lassie's now getting out of prison.
Okay.
And apparently now she's a big TikTok star. Just shows you, murder your mother hard tight for 10 years and you'll be a fucking millionaire. Sell your story. So
disclaimer that.
Yes, I know exactly.
We're not a recommended career path.
Sorry, make sure that you get someone else to murder your mother so you can get out in time to take advantage.
So you get a different charge rather than the direct murder charge.
Yeah. So it wasn't direct murder, that was like persuading someone else to do the
murder. Well, I think I'll bypass that now and I'll stick to watching Ballers, which is essentially just loads of rich American football athletes getting drunk and beating up people, essentially.
Well, one thing I did want to talk about which is sort of related to this, is Cat Williams. Did you go and watch any of the interview, Kyle, after I said to you? Have you watched any of it, Hunter?
No, I've just seen it. I've read wee snippets here or there, but I feel like the other news is sort of taken over in the last couple of weeks, obviously.
Yeah, the 24-hour news cycle, it goes in the background. But I just thought it was interesting based on this movie, almost talking about how black people are exploited in the entertainment industry. And Cat Williams talks about all this mad shit. You should go and watch it. Anyone who's listening, go and watch the Cat Williams interview. And he talks about one thing to look into is that a lot of black actors, they get forced to wear their dress in the early films. So, like, all these successful black comedy actors all wore dresses, like, in the early films. It's all fucking weird. And he was talking about the Illuminati and how Ludacris is in the Illuminati, and that's why there's so many Fast and the Furious movies. Because he got a 20-year film deal, and now there's, like, 11 Fast and the Furious films or whatever.
That was my pitch for the end of WrestleMania for you guys.
What, to have Jason Statham come out and confront the Rock?
Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, Ludacris all come out. They all come out and save the Rock for the Bloodline beating them up, and then it just the WrestleMania ends, and it just pulls straight into Fast and the Furious 11. You're just watching it.
You're just staying that, and that's what entertainment is now. You're just submersed in it.
Your TV screen locks, and you can't use your remote, and your doors are all shut. You just have to sit there and watch all three of the Fast and the Furious 11 movies that are going to come out. You're just going to sit there back to back, watching 6 hours of these fucking cars flying into space and underwater at the same time.
I'm surprised that there's no Oscar nominations for Fast and the Furious this year.
Well, you kind of got Oscar nominated for it when the American Fiction's taken up all the nominations.
That's what it's a smooth segue there. Smooth as fuck.
I was going to ask you if you haven't already looked, which nominations do you think that they've got?
Actor, supporting actor, film, director?
Close enough.
Screenplay?
Adapted screenplay or whatever. Like
yes. So, Cord Jefferson for Best Adapted Screenplay, Sterling Brown for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, Jeffrey Wright for Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Motion Picture of the Year, and Best Achievement in Music Written for a Motion Picture as well.
I didn't notice the score, to be honest. Like, the music wasn't something that stood out to me in any way, so maybe I need to get a second watch in there and pay attention.
Well, have you seen some of the other movies that have been nominated for Best Picture?
I'm assuming Oppenheimer. Get that in the fucking bin.
Oppenheimer did, but Barbie didn't. Is that correct?
So Barbie and Oppenheimer are both in there for Best Picture, which I was a big fan of Barbie, to be fair, but again, this is one of those cinema experiences. I don't know if I'd feel the same watching that one outside of the cinema. Anatomy of a Fall, which I don't have no idea about. Killers of the Flower Moon.
This might be good.
Maestro. That's like a FIFA thing, isn't it?
That just does not appeal to me. See the whole, like, Bradley Cooper trying to be taken seriously. Like, what's an old episode? Bradley Cooper's a cunt or whatever. Stick by that. But that episode was on a list of the top 30 Bradley Cooper interviews I saw online.
Bradley Cooper was a cunt.
Did the interview? I'm just called him a cunt for 45 minutes.
That was for Silver Linings Playbook, was it not?
Oh, I have berated it. So there you go. At least I've got one movie to berate that might be someone's favourite.
Burnsy's favourite. Eh?
5 out of 5 for Burnsy. Other movies are Poor Things, The Zone of Interest, The Holdovers, and one that I've seen a lot of people say is really good is Past Lives.
Yeah. See, I've noticed that this is for us as a group to maybe take into next year or 2024 as some feedback is. See, over the last year, we didn't really watch many new movies, did we? We watched a lot of old movies.
The ones that we've kind of noticed most traction from is something that's been topical or as of now, whereas if we go back and rewatching something, not very little people want to know what's happened, how we're scoring a film that's 15 years old. It's,
I know, nobody cares what we give Mrs. Doubtfire 35. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but we were trying to pick movies that we thought that others would like, and we just kept picking shit. So we have picked a movie for our next recording, which is a little bit more relevant, but still a little bit behind its peakness.
Probably still say it still seems to be Matt is still in the top whatever it is on Amazon. It doesn't seem to be dropping at the heart at all. So I think obviously with TikTok is now massive with that the song that's at the end of it is now just every second or third TikTok move, it's just that song.
So this Sophie Ellis Bextor.
It is, yeah.
Murder on the dance floor.
Do you remember, I remember her first seeing her with the song Groove Jet by Spiller. Remember that one? That was a fucking banger when I was a kid. Like, I think that was about the summer between first year and high school, then about that sort of time period. Oh, Groove Jet by Spiller. Mm-hmm. Fuck me.
And I'm absolutely horrendous with music. Like,
You'll know the song.
That and Mojo Lady Hear Me Tonight are two absolute classics of that time.
The reason I remember those two together is that was a battle for number one back when it mattered. Do you mean? And you would listen to the countdown on the radio and that, wait to see what was number one. Oh, we're old.
Remember music videos?
Aye.
The music videos still exist?
Aye, I've seen something the day that the Beatles won a Grammy for a music video.
The Beatles.
The Grammys last night, the Beatles won like best music video.
But how are the Beatles making new music videos?
Oh, it was like some artist had went and something they like. It's probably more for the director or the person who's made the video rather than for the two surviving members of the Beatles. But I'm sure it was they managed to make a video. It was like 1,300 individual paintings sort of all merged together, and basically, like, obviously, it's probably. The work into making the video rather than the estates of John.
Yeah, so 2024's winner of best video is the Beatles with I'm Only Sleeping.
Get yourself to fuck, honestly, man. Like, although I miss the times, late 90s, early 2000s, where music videos were like peaked. Do you mean like? You had like the Box Channel on MTV you were watching, so everything was the video that mattered, and folk would spend millions and millions on their videos, and there would be like big elaborate stories and all that.
There would be like an announcement though, like the music had been released, and then there was a video. You knew the date and the time, and you would go watch it because I was talking about this just to bring it back to movies about how. Remember when you used to go to the cinema to watch a movie? You knew fine well it was at least a year before that was available in Blockbuster or Sky, or if you could afford to have Sky at that point.
But, I'm sure it was two years before it was on Sky and a year before it was on like video or DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
We went to cinema recently, right? And previous trips to cinema recently, I've been to see Wonka, which is still in the cinema, but I've already bought it on Sky Store.
It's not, I know, it's fucked.
It's there already available to buy. And I'm like, I seen one of the movies there that was nominated for the Best Picture, the fucking Flower Moon or whatever it was there. I'm pretty sure that's available to buy on Sky at the moment as well. So it's like, you can actually buy them whilst they're still in the cinema. Mm. Yeah, that's fuck.
Let's get our deal with the Hippodrome going, Kyle. You reach out as our local Bone S person. Let's get a wee deal going.
I associate with the town. You joking?
Well, you can pretend that you're no fib on this, but
you can remember like a wee fancy flower in your garden for fair day, maybe they'll let you into the hippodrome.
Pretend I'm in the fair day or something like that.
You know how we speak the language and all that, yelly and pilly and all that.
And the gala day.
No, it's not the gala day there, is it? It's the fair
day. No, it's a fair day. You kind of call it a gala day. Fucking hell. Oh, it's a crack. It's an absolute cracking cinema. The only thing I've ever been to see it though was Home Alone.
We can do it. We can go to the cinema, then we can go to the Thomas the Tank train station at the same day. Make a day out.
Mm-hmm. Never been there either.
There you go. You're the only two hangs in your town. You know.
It's famous for that. That's about it.
I had my boss up from work recently, and he's been staying in Edinburgh. And we're in a meeting, and he was just talking about going and doing like tourist stuff in Edinburgh and like seeing the castle and all that. And he's like, is it any good? I have no idea. Never been.
Aye, we didn't do enough in Scotland. No. When I was younger, I used to try and go all over the world as many places as I could. And then maybe the last 5 or 6 years, I tried to do a few wee things in Scotland. Did that out with Hebrides. That's fucking class. Like, I would highly recommend that. We need to get, see what I was going to say. See with our Beer 52 money. That's only if you guys go and go to beer52.com/morons to get your beer. Can we make any money? So just keep that in mind. But we should bake a wee pot and go to a wee island or go away for a weekend together or something as the morons instead of fucking. Well, what's we going to do with the money? Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Drink.
Well, we get drink anyway. Like, if you want any booze, come to my house. It's fucking full yet. Like, I'm giving it away.
Don't tell them that. Get your orders at Beer 52.
Yes, I know.
Ah, you'll get it for free as well, and then get extras for me.
Just get a big fancy house, get a big projector, get some movies watched, get some recording together as a group.
Yeah, man. And we'll record. We'll do like the Always Sunny episode where they got drunk, and we'll get drunk and record a live episode, and see what happens.
You just try to relive what Mug's brother was doing with the two boys in that house.
Well, I'm open.
What happens in the house stays in the house.
That's a bit creepy. That's what Vince McMahon said to fucking Janelle Grant when she turned up.
Oh, I think we should leave Vince McMahon for a separate discussion. I think that'll be a whole podcast on its own. And our good friends at the Graps will be talking about that in one of their upcoming episodes, I'm sure. So if you haven't already, please go follow the Graps. That's GRAPPZ, because they're cool like that. They've got a Z in their name. They're down with the kids. You'll find them on Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that. Nice wee plug. Although we're behind an episode because I was too tired last week. But we'll get our thoughts on Vince McMahon down very soon.
There's no difference if there's not a lot happened in the last week.
I know. Everything's fucking happening. I'll be back going soon.
Wrestling galore.
It's not like there's a lot going on in my life, do you know what I mean? I'm fucking sitting here waiting for her to go, and I might have to run to the hospital any moment, man.
Well, you're here. Priorities are this first.
Yes.
Exactly. So for those of us that are not here tonight, get your fucking priorities today.
Some of them are too obsessed with the football to come join us to talk about American fiction. But just to come back into the movie. Is there anything else you want to add, discuss, talk about, or even if we were just to pitch this for other people to go and give this a watch? Because my stance on it is you might look at this as a title, as a as an advert, and you might not think it's the most engaging or entertaining movie for your type of movie that you'd go watch. Hands up, I don't think I would go and pick to watch this myself. It would be one that was maybe recommended. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'd be more than happy to watch this movie again. I've recommended it to loads of people as just a different movie than what you'd be used to. You can go and watch Car Blown Up at any point in fucking cheap comedy, but this is really, really clever. It is really well written. The book's obviously been really well thought of, and I just think the idea of this really intelligent writer lowering his morals and standards to appease to the masses says a lot about society, and it says a lot about how people want to take in information. The fact that people will happily sit down with a book that's absolutely garbage than a book that's really intelligent, it targets in, and I'm going to call it the missus and the son at the moment, it targets in them because they're going to sit down and watch fucking Love Island tonight. And it's like, the types of people that are reading those books are the types of people that are then going to sit on shit shows like Love Island that I know Hunter's a big fan of.
Well, the one point I wanted to make before we finished up was that one of the things that struck me the most, and they were very, very clever about this, is they dropped in quite a lot of black culture movies in the background of the film.
Yeah, I've noticed that a couple.
So you had like Boys in the Hood, you had The Colour Purple, you had a few other these things, and it just shows you, when you think about all these films that we loved growing up, it only shows you the dregs and the worst of society and that culture. Yeah. And that's what we grew up with. And I think because as white people, it's more comfortable to watch and see black society being shittier than ours. Mm-hmm. And that's, and do you mean, and that's just ultimately what it's always been like. And it's easier to sympathize. Whereas if you just want to take a film seriously, nowadays, you still see it now that there's outrage if a black person gets cast in a film that they think, oh, but they were classically a white person. That's because every single fucking character was cast as a white guy before. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking shut the fuck up, Seb, or whatever the fuck your name is. Do you know what I mean?
See those arguments? It's like, you when people say you have to be, you do remember Ben Kingsley played Gandhi.
Yeah, man. Ben Kingsley played Gandhi.
Yeah. And then that happened, then obviously all the uproar forever long, it's been like, obviously, it's always like, Idris Elba will be the next Bond, and then all the uproar behind that, because it's the roles would be reversed, and it'd be a black guy in this predominantly, obviously, has been a white based role.
The difference being, right, James Bond's a character that was made up by someone.
Exactly.
It could be black or white or anything you want. Whereas Ben Kingsley went and played Gandhi, who's a real life person.
Exactly. But I would think even on that James Bond thing, the source material that they had before, when it was Connery or whatever, that doesn't exist. It could now just be a franchise within itself. You can go on whatever tangent you want with that now and just use the name Bond.
You can do it with anything. Like, exactly. Source material is very, very rarely ever matched. Like, do you mean you've always got to make changes for a novel adaptation or whatever, or for a remake? You've always got to make it your own thing. So, but no, I just thought it was really clever the way it showed you. Here's everything you'd be watching as white people in black cinema. Everything you'd be watching really is a stereotype, isn't it? And as soon as he played into the stereotypes in the film, folk loved him. When he was going against the stereotypes, nobody fucking cared about him. So, there are definitely things that do.
It's really clever how much it irks him the whole way through it, though. Like, he's so disappointed in himself.
Yeah.
And he hides it so well from everybody in his family and stuff. And to the point where you want to say, but he's still too proud to say that he's reduced himself to this level. But now he's rating $1 million contracts, and he's making the most money he's ever made in his life. And everything seems to be going his way. But ultimately, he's massively unhappy because... he's not happy with the work that he's done. And I think that was quite a clever undertone to it, though, because obviously success is normally measured by how much money you've got and how that's a determinant of how happy you are, or at least that's how it's supposed to be portrayed. So the fact that you can just see the disappointment in him every time he's talking, his brother's asking him and his missus is asking him how he's able to afford the place that he's in. Mm-hmm. He's just miserable. He doesn't even want to tell them.
Aye. And really, what he should be doing is sort of being proud of the fact that he is taking advantage of people's idiocy. You know what I mean? Like, he's been clever enough to step above it, but really, he's still exacerbating the same issue, I suppose, by pushing the stereotypes that he wants to fight against. So many layers to it. It's such a good film.
Really. Yeah, and I know we're wrapping up there, but see the scene where he's arguing with the other black author about why she didn't like his book, even though he's saying that he didn't like it.
Yeah, he's getting defensive about it. Yeah.
But why do you not like it? Because you write shit like this.
Yeah, because he thinks hers is shite, but his is a different type of shite. Do you mean his is purposeful shite, but she didn't mean to make it shite? And, like, very, very clever. Like, the whole time, it was all those little layers are what made this really good, I think.
Well, definitely. Highly recommended. If you do get the opportunity to go see American Fiction, it would certainly be worthwhile going into any of your local cinemas, especially if you're down south. Get yourself into a Curzon cinema as well to see American Fiction. They've been campaigning for the movie a lot as well. Want to score it?
Yeah, man. We've not done scores for a while. Feels like ages.
No, it has been a while for there. And I'm going to bottle it and not go first. I'm going to come to you first, Daniel.
I'm giving this, I was thinking about it earlier on today, I'm giving it a
4.25. Now, for those that are listening for the first time, we score our movies out of 5. They go up in increments of 0.25, with obviously 0 being the lowest. We do have one movie that got a unanimous zeros across the board, which was... Zulu Dawn, the sequel to Zulu. Don't watch that one there. But a 4.25 is a very, very highly rated movie.
Yes. And
there is only 3 of us here today to give a score, so we can't give you what the score would be compared to the rest of the leaderboards, but you'll get an idea of where we're sitting. Hunter?
3.75 for me. Very enjoyable. And obviously, we know that level of, and for me, that 4-5 is like
elite,
but size 3.75, right? They're fair, as I said, fairly enjoyed. I think the contrast of emotions. Obviously, there was the heartbreak now after the comedy. It was a very good kind of everything. Kind of you've said, Kyle, the whole going in, don't know what to expect, but coming out feeling, you know what, I've actually really enjoyed myself watching this. And yeah, that's all you can ask for. A comedy to actually deliver comedy, it's a very, very common start.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to add the cinema tax onto this one, Hunter. I think I'd be closer to your score than I would be Daniel's if I watched it at home. But I'm going to give this a good solid 4 as a movie. And like I say, I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. It is so much better going to the cinema. We definitely need to do more of that
when it comes
to watching movies. But yeah, very much surprised by this. Very impressed. I would certainly look out for any more Cord Jefferson movies in the future to see what they come as well.
So I can do the math without Burnsy because that was easy. It's a 4 overall.
We normally have to give Burnsy a couple of minutes to fill in some time there to work that out, get his calculator out.
No, I don't have it anyway. So
just since the boys aren't here and some may listen and some may not listen, how would the rest of them score it?
I would go Dubs 4, Sean 1, Burnsy 1.5. Those two just wouldn't. It's too slow paced for them. Do you know what I mean, like, and a lot of the jokes to land, you've got to sort of think about it, and then it lands. And they're just that's just no for them having to think. Join. So I don't.
So you're saying they're too thick to get it.
Two of their morons are too stupid to get it, and then Dubs would probably quite like it. It's a bit like we watched The Big Lebowski, the way that was split. Do you know what I mean? Like, some folk, it just wasn't for them. And you've got to be quite smart for certain films.
Shite film. Well, that does bring us to the end of this episode of Moron Review Movies. Little additional episode for you guys on the movie American Fiction. Please go give it a watch, give it a review, let us know on Instagram at instagram.com/morons review movies. You'll probably speak to nobody because none of us seem to be looking after it at the moment.
I know, I need to get back on it.
But if only
I posted something last week.
If only there was a moron than at the paternity leave that would have loads of time to look after it.
I know. It's like I'm not gonna be busy at all over the next few while. So
nah, your job's done. Your job was done 9 months ago, mate. You've got nothing to do for until next 10. Yeah.
Oh God, already looking forward to going back to work. Tell me. No, I'm kidding.
That's going to the front of the podcast.
No, I'm kidding.
But anyway, nice to see you, gents. As morons, you farewell.
Bye.
Sorry I don't speak moron as well as you, but let me try.
What the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
It's a moron. That's not against the law.
Gun!
You fucking moron.
Dressed up like Batman.
Because he is Batman, you moron.
What are you, a fucking moron?
You moron. Drop dead. Ooh. Moron.
Whoa.
Up here, you morons.
Stepping morons like yourself.
Be down, you moron. Hey, moron.
Bid you farewell and good luck, morons. Bye.